Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did not live the little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick, chick. Oh, welcome back. This is the Dixon James podcast number 300 and, or no, 500, 600. I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. You'll figure it out. There'll be a number there. If you need it, there'll be a number posted when I finally put this thing together. Yours truly, the Scarborough Dude. I got to preface this with the old thing I tell you about many times. This is really mood-based podcasting. And whatever stories I tell you or rants I go on are really determined by the time of day I record, the particular day, whatever has just happened. And if I was to wait until tomorrow to start this, you'd get a very different opening clip. And if I'd done it yesterday or last night, you would have had a different one again. But all of which adds up to the fact that I got some mixed feelings. This isn't going to be as pleasant as it might have been had I recorded yesterday when I was feeling great. Nothing in particular that's really distressing. Going down to the basement to do a laundry and finding water leaking from the air conditioner, it was kind of put me off because first of all, I just thought, oh, my wife's going to see that and want to know, what are we going to do? And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, we're in summer now. There are settings on the furnace. We had a new furnace put in using the old air conditioner. No, we actually had new air conditioner put in, too. But whoever installed it, I think they used some of the old controls, and they don't really make sense to me. If the temperature's this outside, then you should have this setting here. And I don't know if that was ever really true or an issue, and it probably was, and probably is. And the thing is, it's never something I ever think about fixing or checking or changing. So the water on the floor is probably just because, oh my God, I've had it on winter settings all along and now it's summer and there's more humidity. And then I just get into that headspace, oh fuck, I don't know. I don't want to have to think about this. I don't want to have to care about this. Got all these other things to care about, which, by the way, all those house items, you know, the new garage door, the new step and concrete blocks, fixing that ceiling issue, leak, all that's been put on hold because, hey, my girls are here now. I let it go a little too late. And the fact that I'm not going to Yellowknife this summer, and I will be going to, I'll be back here in the fall, means there will be time. There will be time. Now, just hang on a sec. I have another one of those seniors 80-cent coffees from the big Whopper, you know, Burger King. And once again, I'm having a great deal of trouble figuring out how to open this fucker. I mean, it's just so simple. It's just so, it even gives you the instructions, you know. But what part do I slide? What part is supposed to turn easily? And it's all related to this brain. Like, remember when it was so hard for me to insert the credit card into the gas tank or into the, payment machine? There we go. Okay. I mean, I did exactly what I said. It's just that it was stiff, and maybe I'm one of those people who think, well, if it's not moving smoothly right away, I must be doing something wrong. And then when you start second-guessing yourself, you're in trouble. Anyway, all of which is to prove what I just told you, that things that happen really can throw me off. And I was in such a fine mood because I've been in really enjoying this study tour. I'm going to get back to that. But little things like the water on the floor, the fact that I tried to open Quicken on my new MacBook Air by uploading it to, first of all, to, or the data file to Dropbox, and then later on to, you know, the thing Apple has, you know, the cloud. And then it just simply wouldn't open. No, don't recognize this file. Can't open. So fortunately, I had a back, and I spent, well, probably no more than half an hour on that, but on both computers. Okay, well, I'll just get it back to working on one. Well, no, now that's not going to work now, because we've got older files going back to 2014. No, we don't want that one. We want the one I just updated yesterday. Thank you very much. So I did use a backup copy, because I do backup, and was able to get this morning's file open and working on my iMac, and I may just have to give up. Like, I was wanting to think, oh, I could just, this could just could synchronize really easily, and I, whatever I do on one, this is like the, when I'm using my database, and I open on one file, and suddenly, hey, you got your latest version on your iPhone, and your, you know, everything you got. The tap forms file, or they're just, you just push that little sync button and it works. It's wonderful. And I don't have the same for Quicken, and Quicken is the thing that really burned me, because I mean, I'm working on Quicken 2007, and because they just dropped support for Mac, and my entire company is on, and it is really important. Like, that's where all of that is. That's where I know whether I've made money from this tour, actually not whether I have, but how much. But also what I need to give to my accountant, what I need to pay my my federal government at the end of the year, and so on. It's a critical file. There was another file. Yeah, no, letter from the government. Oh, you know, what about that other company you had going? We haven't received any payments or, you know, your files, income tax files. And we were just kind of hoping it would just go away. But no, companies that are registered that you pay GST on and so on, they don't just go away. You got to officially make them go away. So that's another issue to deal with when I get back. See, all this is just the shit that gets things so busy. And yet, during the day, while I'm, you know, with the girls, with the teachers from Japan, I'm just so busy with all of whatever I have to do. Although when I say so busy, I mean I spend a fair amount of time just kind of chilling by myself, because I need to do that to stay, to keep my energy up and so on. What I really wanted to start with and talk about was how well everything is going, how smoothly this has gone, how finally this is my 24th fucking year of doing these study tours. Now, you got to know that in the beginning, I had other people, like, well, I was working with the East York Board of Education, Japan Traveler. Other people were doing other things, and I was just the guy somehow in the middle that created this program. But I needed other people's help. We still, you know, I had an accountant, and we had stuff. Accountant who burned me and charged me way too much, the bastard. But, like, when it came to the host families, other people were finding the families, people who knew others through the East York Board. That's where most of them came from. And I was, you know, oh, man, I can't do that shit. And now I have the greatest pleasure of being out front of the school that we work with, Wexford Collegiate, standing at the door and greeting each and every family as they drop off the girls in the morning, and just checking in and finding out how they're doing, and basically seeing their smiling faces and seeing the smiling faces of the girl as they may or may not hug their family goodbye and wave, and everybody's happy. And I think, what a wonderful thing I have done. I have put together. And people say that, right? People say, what a wonderful thing you're doing here. This is great. And it's just gone really smoothly. And like yesterday, the falafels, you know. And I go back to my friend, who I go for every year. and thank him, and there's his wife, and I talk to her, and I talk about the kids, and it's just pleasant. This is where I go to do business. It's only a couple of $100 in business. It's not a big deal, but it's important to keep up the good relations. It's important to create a good vibe. To be thankful, to share, to talk about what I'm doing. Hey, guess what? I do have a girl who's also a Muslim who can teach the Japanese girls about why she wears this headscarf and so on, and why she can't eat certain things, like the ice cream yesterday, because there might have been gelatin in it. And if there's gelatin, that's not halal, and that's taboo. And I want my Japanese girls to know something, but hey, you're in Toronto. This is a multicultural city. We have food from all over the world. That's why you're eating a shawarma right now, whether you like it or not. Because that's part of modern-day Canada, and it's different from the Canada I grew up in. Anyway, I mean, I could go on at length, not just about what a great guy I am, because that's part of it, of course, but how much I'm enjoying running this part of the program. And usually I sort of think, oh my God, I just can't wait till the Toronto part is finished. And this year it's a turnaround. I feel really in control. I feel really good about it. Part of it is, again, using the software and being on top and having a check. Okay, every day, what are you going to do? Well, a day in advance, like Friday, you got to order the pizzas for Monday. Prepay it. And here's the list you saved from last year. And this is exactly what you ordered last year. Okay, let's order the same again this year. And you've kept track of your records. And you're organized. I guess that's what I'm saying. Me, the scatterbrain guy who just seems to not even want to look at where the leak is coming from the furnace. On the other hand, I'm really on top of this program. And I feel good about knowing what I'm doing and being in control and making it work right. Complaining last year when our buses, the school buses, were not always on time, or they changed drivers halfway through, and you didn't know who you were supposed to call because he can't find you at the end of the day when you're leaving Toronto's Island, and you can't get hold of the guy, and you're late. And this time, they assigned me, at my request, one driver, a nice man called Rush, who is there every single day for us. And each day, I've been able to give him an extra lunch, even at the expense of my own lunch, by mistake. It's so much better. And I'll give him a nice little, you know, $25 Canadian gift card. Small thank you, but just to show, hey, I appreciate this. This is good. I guess this is kind of boring, isn't it? But the reason I'm going on to this is, if you've listened to earlier podcasts, and you've heard me in lower points, really concerned about my degrading brain, my forgetfulness, here's even an example. Yesterday, suddenly out of the corner of my eye, I caught that flashing light. It's this car I'm driving with the dashboard, the control center in the middle. That's just how they designed it, to make room, to make it small. So I'm used to looking straight ahead. There's the controls, and there's the gas, and there's this, and this is what I look at. This is something you don't even pay attention to. It's almost on the passenger side. In fact, it is where the little indicator is telling you if you got gas or not. I never look there. And suddenly yesterday I see, oh my God, it's flashing again. I realize, oh yeah, I noticed it was low yesterday, maybe even flashing yesterday, but again, I didn't do anything. And today I realize, wow, I'm on my way home. And I know where there's a petrol can station, and I'm going straight there and filling that sucker up, because I could not handle running out of gas for a third time. Oh. So I did. I mean, I filled that up. But I didn't have a computer reminder telling me it's, I got to remember to look at this damn car's instruments. All right. What I was getting at was, it's possible as you age to really start running yourself down and blaming yourself for forgetfulness and things that I can't do as quickly anymore. And remember, it was almost, in fact, it was a factor in not going back to the college this fall. Like, well, man, it just gets longer and harder to mark, but to set up the computers, and what if I, oh my God, I don't know. And now I'm going back feeling a little more empowered, a little more in control because of how well this tour has gone. And yeah, of course I can handle it, for fuck's sake. Jesus, I can still put out these damn recordings. So, what should have been a very happy recording, if I had started yesterday from Black Creek Pioneer Village, where I was going to, except I just didn't really want to see my students seeing me talking into this digital recorder as I sat in the porch of the doctor's office. It would have been a slightly different tone. Now you're getting sort of the good and the bad, but maybe we'll just leave it there. I'm just started. I just needed to record something while I'm on this tour, while we're in Toronto. And I got this weekend to get through, and then Monday we're off to a community center to entertain the children there, the Japanese singing and dancing and games. And then Tuesday they go to the Eaton Center and I stay home, and that's when I get organized for camp in Quebec. Wednesday, off to the Toronto Zoo for the first time, and that reminds you, I gotta get home and print out the itinerary so that we know where we're going, or the teachers do too, and we can stick together. And Thursday, oh, what is that, a mouse? Ooh. Thursday, off to Niagara Falls for the day, which, yeah, I can do that. Done it so many damn times before, probably 25 already. And Friday off to camp. And my last chore is to buy the booze, because one of the teachers will take a drink. And this is good news for me. So, yeah, I could have done that today. Instead, I returned all the empties to please my wife. And returned an inflatable mattress I don't need anymore, because a woman found she was able to repair her own. Got some money back on that. And I guess that's about it. Sorry this is not peppy and jolly and happy, but this is yours truly, the Scarborough Dude. Actually, feeling a little stronger, a little better. I think you remember maybe just before even going to the Marshall McLuhan Podcast Roundtables in Kingston, I was kind of seemed to have hit a low point for whatever reason. I don't know. And now I'm actually feeling pretty damn good. Oh, yeah. The last thing that's really pissing me off, and there's a good example right beside me, a car that's diagonally parked in a space that has very clear yellow lines, nicely parallel, and it just, the rear wheel is maybe 10 inches over the yellow line at an angle, and the front is on the line, and it's, there's no other cars here. It's so easy to correct, it's so easy to park, and it drives me fucking nuts. And the thing I've noticed that is really starting to get to me is I really believe that people, especially here in the city of Toronto, tensions have mounted. People are running yellow lights like they're red when they go through the intersection, and they know it. And they just figure, well, okay, they can see me, so they're not going to turn into me. And people are really taking more chances, and people are changing lanes dangerously and forgetting to signal or forgetting to turn off the signal. And there are more and more and more examples every day of bad driving habits, of bad driving, period. And even pedestrians figuring, fuck, you know, the walking signal, I'll just cross when I want, they can see me. And I'm starting to mutter under my breath about drivers, oh, for Christ's sake, turn for fuck's sake, or, you know, Jesus Christ, can't you see the fucking sign, asshole? And I'm not saying it loud enough that they can hear, because I really don't want to increase the tension, but I am saying it to myself because it really is starting to bug me, and I'm countless signs every single day. Maybe it's the same where you are, and I do think it's just an indication of these tense times we're living in. And, you know, I really do blame a lot of what's happening south of the border. I just watched 7 Days in May, an excellent, excellent film with Kirk Douglas and, can't remember the guy's name, can picture him. Really, really well done about fear of the government's weak, we're giving in to the communists, we're going to have, the military's going to have to take it over. And it was very, very well done, beautifully filmed, and I just sat there with the UK in my lap. I forgot, all right, I need a timeout, and I'm going to watch this because it's a damn good film. Anyway, I guess that's it. I don't, although I actually feel like drinking some wine, so maybe I will do the liquor stop now. And get back to you. By the way, one more thing. You're going to hear a song by Gary of Chubb Creek that he recorded for the Dixon Chains podcast long, long ago, back in the early days. And it was so nice to hear it again. He just put a link up on his Facebook page, and it was so great to hear it again. And you can believe me when I say I was so honored in those early days that Chubb Creek actually recognized the Dixon Chains podcast and thought highly of it. Holy shit. I mean, I don't get that kind of recognition now. But boy, was that ever a big thrill and a feather in my cap, if you will. So that's it. Scarborough Dude. Maybe I'll play that song right now. Seems a fitting space. So have a listen. Thanks, Gary. Bye for now.
I want to write a song about someone great, someone I love to listen to. Late at night, walking or in my car, there's nothing
Whose ass did you kiss to get that?
It's amazing is that I have delved into work far too much. I work too much. I don't not think about work because there are things that I have to do. There's responsibilities that I have. And The problem is that my brain has been so accustomed to that way of thinking that I'm not thinking about what I want and what I would like to do. So in order to do that, you have to take time off. And I'm forcing myself this year to do that, to actually leave the house, not think about work, and actually live. And I'm doing it in baby steps. It's only going to be 2-3 weeks. But I'm going to be driving back to Saskatchewan. I'm going to be going through Jasper Park. I'm going to be doing all kinds of stuff, I hope.
Sounds
good.
I'm
going to be going to some national parks because it's Canada's 150th birthday.
Yeah.
I am going to be doing some traveling to a few of those parks, I hope. Going out of my way to go to them because I think that's important. I think it's really important. And I'm going to take the dog. The girl's coming. We're going to make a road trip out of going to visit some people. And I'm hopefully going to be able to see some friends of mine who are sort of on the way.
We're going to phase Shane out. Thank you, Shane, for the intro. And we'll come back to you. We're going to come back to that and a few other things. But I got to get on with my own podcast here. Surprised to see that in my feed. Shane is very inconsistent, and you never know the dates or, you know, if something is like from 4 years ago or if it's new. But anyway, he's there. It's good to hear, and it's good he's got some plans. And it's interesting he picked up on that topic, because this was the year I was all set to, hey, it's 150. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to travel. I'm going to make use of the road trek, and I'm going to make use of my free parks pass. And there's a very good chance that I won't visit a single national park this entire year. Now, that is just so annoying. I got my schedule today for teaching in the fall. And, of course, they always call a meeting of the English department in ESL the week before classes start. So classes start after Labor Day, so Labor Day, September 5th. Next day, regular classes. But end of August, well, it was a staff meeting, 2-hour meeting. And I think, how can they do that? Like, if I don't have to be, I'd have to be back for then, like a week in advance of having to start classes. Now, last year I missed it. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I bloody well missed this one too, even though I'm trying to go back with a very positive attitude. Because, shit, I was going to go down to the Maritimes, at least do something with this road trek and what's left of the summer after my tour. And if I go to that meeting, well, that takes a week out of my free time. So that, I might have to fight that one. Now, mind you, I mean, come on, I've been around for so long. There's nothing that's going to come up at a meeting that I really won't be able to find out later on. So I think we might just give a pass on that. Scarborough Dude! I never did find out what episode this is, and it probably doesn't really matter. You know, sometimes I carry my iPhone in my pocket, and every once in a while I'll notice, oh shit, there's an app missing. Like an app I might use a lot, and I see there's a blank space here, and I never know, well, what was it which is missing? And what happens is it's in the pocket, a button gets pressed where they're all, you know, fidgeting, you know, flip, 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 so that you can move them around or delete an app. And then you see this little message. Are you sure you want to delete your mail app? Well, maybe not mail app because you probably can't, but something else. And if you bump it by accident again, when you haven't even seen it, that message is coming up when it's still in your pocket. It goes, so I lost a lot of apps that way. Seems ridiculous. I know there's got to be, you know, a lock thing that can't, no, you're just not doing it properly. It's your fault. Yeah, okay, so maybe it is, but damn it, there's a hole on my front page of an app that I had there that I know was important to me. Jesus Christ, hey, you know, how am I going to find out? Anyway, all right, sorry, it's nothing to do with this podcast. It's just this little things in life that can twist your head up a little bit. Went to church today, and Greta wasn't there, and no matter what, Scott took over the service, her husband, the piano player, and he's an absolutely wonderful man. He gave me just a big hug at the end of it and says, I just love you, Ken. I'm so happy when I look out and see you there. And he meant it. He meant it. I have a place at that church. But he does, he can go on a little bit, and he goes on tangents. Like, his brain is going so fast, he'll be talking about, we were doing truth, beauty, and, what's the other one that goes with truth and beauty? And I don't know, I'm thinking integrity, honesty, no. Truth, beauty. Anyway, it was a bit along the lines of the meaning of life, and of course he quoted his favorite, Douglas Adams. Very few people in the church knew Douglas Adams or the meaning of life. But anyway, that's what went on today. But none of my students were there. I went mainly because three families from the church are hosting my students, and last year they brought them. And last year was the worst possible time to bring students because it was a man talking about sex and perversion and things of just the human, the varieties of human and basic needs and what to do about it. And I know if the girls had been able to understand, they would have left thinking, my God, what kind of a church is that? Anyway, today none of them came. But I had one thing I had to do. Well, I had a whole lot of things I have to do and still have to do. It's 5 o'clock. It's Sunday, July 30th. Still, you know, tons for the tours, but I'm on top of that. But I really felt, no, I'm going to be dry. I'm going to be on the road. I'm going to be going to camp, and it's a really nice time just to read a book when the students are off doing stuff. And I told you I'm reading The Grateful Dead, which is a big, heavy book. And it's not one I want to cart around the whole time, you know, especially when I finished it. I've got this book taking up space in my suitcase. Try to go with a smaller suitcase this year. I don't know if I can do it, but don't want that big book. And the other book is called Hash. And I'll read that probably too quickly. And so I may bring it anyway if I don't finish it before we go. It's kind of interesting. The section on Morocco was very interesting because, as you know, I met up with some hash dealers. A dealer in Morocco who was going back to Canada to buy a house if he could get through on this second trip. And I never did find out. And always hoped that he had. He was a very, very nice guy. And he's with his wife. And they had a little girl. She was left behind. But it just, you know, hey, this is not a guy toting guns and putting people in barrels of acid. This is a guy who just, hey, there's a demand for hash in Western Canada. I think I know where to get some. And can maybe unload it for a good price. So, that book is entertaining, but I went to the Great Escape Bookshop. I was going to go to Circus on Danforth, but the Great Escape is a little closer on Kingston Road, and it's a very wonderful bookshop. And went straight to the biography section and picked up. There was one interesting one. It was a sort of, it was called Positively 4th Street. And damn it, I should have bought it. It was Joan and her sister, is it Mimi or Mimi or something, Baez, and Richard, I guess they're, maybe, was it Joan's husband or boyfriend, and Bob Dylan, and how their lives intertwined. And I just, it didn't shout at me quite the same way. Now that I don't have it, of course, I want it. All this, by the way, I think almost every day about how I'm going to unload stuff. I got to get rid of those teacups. I got to get rid of all my antiques. I got to get rid of stuff. Everything before we sell this house, I really have to get rid of. And I don't want this stuff that you just can't put out. You don't want to do a garage sale where people are looking for cups for 50 cents, and these are cups that are worth $50, these Japanese beautiful ones. So I don't know how I'm going to go about that, you know, and it would take forever. I could do a nice website, and I would use the brand of the Scarborough dude. But shipping fragile teacups, yeah, you don't want to go there. I still think about the idea that Doug mentioned it and others have, just doing a podcast, picking up an object, taking a picture, and doing a podcast about its meaning and significance, and then maybe just sort of saying, okay, well, $50 and it's yours, or best offer, and putting out a whole new series. And I think maybe in the fall when I get back, don't quote me on that, I might start that, or I might think about starting that. Because that would be one way to gradually get rid of stuff, any stuff that my boys don't want. But then there's the library, and I'm always dreamed of selling. All right, you get all of it. All my Timothy Leary, all my Henry Miller, all my Kerouac, all my Beats. Like, these are not complete libraries, none of them can be, but these are good-sized libraries with a lot of meat that a good bookshop would want. And I'd rather say, you take the lot. There's a fixed round number. But the trouble would be, they would want a fixed round low number, and I would want a fixed round high number. My real dream is to somehow get hold of, through an intermediary, of somebody who's just become famous, a rock star or an actor. I've told you this, I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, but I have to say it again anyway, because how many of you are going to remember? And say, now you've got all this money, and you've probably got going to have a second home or a third home somewhere, or just a cottage. And what you need is a complete wall lined with books. And how about you take my entire library? It's yours for $20,000. I'll settle for $10,000. Or $12,000. You know, and just take it all. It's yours. Just send a truck over, you know. I'd never meet the famous person. There'd be some intermediary doing it, and of course they'd probably charge more, but that's fine. But take them all, and somebody has got a really good collection that's taken me 40 years, 50 years maybe to collect from bookshops all around Canada. I mean, we're talking new and used, but mostly gently used. Really interesting collection of books, and anybody who would just have this place. And it seems, yeah, the internet should be the place for that person to find me and me to find them somehow. Hey, you got all this money. What does it mean, million? You know, maybe you get an accountant, there'll be a business expense, whatever, you know? So anyway, the point is I got to get rid of this stuff. But meanwhile, I go into The Great Escape. And in my hand right now, I'm holding Good Vibrations, Mike Love, My Life as a Beach Boy. And remember how much I enjoyed Heroes and Villains. Now, the trouble with this one, it's new. Like, it was written just recently. I think the date is 2016 or something. But, yeah. You know, it's big. Yeah, 2016 copyright. So I think that's going to be interesting. But it's huge. It's a hardcover. It's a big, thick, heavy thing. But I knew that would be a good one to get. There was another Beach Boys one there. But I think I can go for the Mike Love one. I did, anyway. For $10.50. And then a little paperback by Ben Fong-Torres, who was a writer for Rolling Stone. Oh, that reminds you. I got to get the Rolling Stone with the Trudeau cover, if it's still around. Called Hickory Wind, The Life and Times of Graham Parsons, Revised and Expanded. Now, I'm not even a big fan of Graham Parsons, but you do know that I read the other book with his partner, the guy who was in the Hollies, you know, what's his name, who, you know, and Graham featured a lot in that book, of course. Roger McGuinn. Well, that was back from the Flying Burrito Brothers days. Anyway, it'll be an interesting read because it's the whole lot of all that stuff. Those times, those days, those people. A lot of mention of the Rolling Stones and all the other people. And I'm just right now, I consider this history. It happens to be rock and roll history. But it's still history because there's all cross-references. Like the Grateful Dead book that I've enjoyed. Even though I would not want to be a friend with that drummer or hang out with him. Heavy, heavy drug use. But anyway, I mean, he got through it and he told his story. Not a whole lot of depth, but but interesting stories anyway. The last one was a 1978 trip to Egypt where it cost them $500,000 to bring their wives, their girlfriends, their roadies, and all these people to put on a few concerts in front of the Sphinx. And that's kind of a neat story. You know, and it was a big, if you're a Deadhead, of course, that'd be a huge story, a huge part of their history. And he comments on all the albums. So, I mean, I'm actually enjoying the read. I went thinking, well, it just put me in the frame of mind that, no, I need another, I need more rock history. That's all I want to read these days. No more World War II, no more. Sorry, I'm just doing that to shake my brain up because I feel I'm tripping over myself right now. Deep breath. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'll just go back to listening. It's Sunday. I saw there was some meat, frozen meat out on the counter to thaw, I guess, hopefully for my son to barbecue. Yesterday, my wife was out. Went to see the George O'Keefe exhibit again at the ROM. And, or not the ROM, at the Art Gallery of Ontario. And I just had a craving for steak, and I bought a big steak. Didn't cook all of it. Cooked a lot. Some turkey sausages, and then got myself a really nice bottle of Spanish wine, which I love. And that's just what I wanted to do. And went out on the deck, barbecued myself. I was all alone. My son was out, wife away, and just enjoyed this meat and wine. Oh, yeah. One more thing. I went to the Metro because the Metro has better meat. I'll go to the Freshco and these other chains that mean nothing to you to buy your regular stuff. It's always discounts and sales. But the meat is better at Metro. And often, of course, they'll have cuts of steak on sale and so on. But anyway, first time I noticed, oh, my God, I went up this aisle and there's an entire wall of beer and wine. It was wonderful. I thought, oh my God. I forgot that they were doing this. And in fact, in the beginning, I was against this. I thought, no, save the liquor sales to the government stores so that they can, you know, continue to rake in tons of money, which we need for hospitals and education. But I guess they've cut a deal with the grocery stores. And I enjoyed it. I went in there and I saw beer, or saw wine, beers actually, sorry, that, wow, oh, good, I want that one. And ended up, of course, you're going to buy stuff. You're going to pick up that bottle of wine. And now that it's done, it seems perfectly sensible. And it was really nice to be able to go in and think, okay, now I found this meal or meat or whatever it is I wasn't planning on buying, but I need a bottle of wine to go with that now. And there you go. You got your selection. They even have wine samples from a private winery. So that's news on the home front. All right. I've gone on long enough. I'm going to get back to hearing what else Shane has to say. Shane, welcome back, if you're still listening to me. I'm glad to. Listen, I don't know about making it on that trip. You're planning on going to Tuktoyaktuk, aren't you? Planned a road trip for next year? Oh, man. This taking the job offer at school really did throw off my plans. But I know. It's for the best. But shit, I want to get. I'm dreaming of PEI. I'm dreaming of, well, go down at least. Head down to the Maritime. It's only a couple of days to get down there. So, yeah, do it. Never mind that English meeting. All right. Scarborough Dude. Signing off.
Change, stay 72. check. Son of a gun, better change your act. We're all confused. What's to lose? You can call this song the United States Blues.
Wave that flag, wave it wide.
I don't know what it is, but it's 91.1 here in Toronto. It's a jazz station, but wow. Hate to talk over it, but hey. Man, that's good. But, hey, sorry. Got limited time here, and I need to get started on this. This will be the end of the last podcast I put out before I leave with the girls for camp and Quebec and so on. So, back at you. It's Wednesday morning. I'm parked in the parking lot outside the school where we run our program. The girls are inside doing a warm-up game of Huckle Buckle, a middle school game that's it's language-based, and it's physically active, and it's crazy. There'll be girls falling all over the place, I'm sure. And then this afternoon, we're going to the zoo, our first time ever, and kind of that's going to be a good day, except that there's a 60% or better chance of rainstorms. Temperature's going to creep right up to 30, and usually when it hits that mark, we get rain. So, anyway, all is going exceedingly well. Man, I feel so good about it. I know I've changed. You may not see it. I have a hard time measuring it. Where did it happen? But it's been a gradual process over these past couple of years. And I know the church ties into it. Having a cat ties into it. Coming to terms with just getting older ties into it. Having this leg brace so that I can walk and I'm less worried about my body falling apart than I used to be. All those things sort of somehow have put me, I think, in a more positive space. I'm much less worried about my deteriorating brain than I was even a couple of weeks ago. It's just, you know, a fact of life. But again, that is one of the reasons I've probably chosen to take the job back at the school, at the college. Now I'm debating, oh my God, I'm going to teach the winter semester as well. I'll probably be offered a spot. Or do I want to get in that road trek and head south? You know, I just don't know. And I don't have to decide at this point, that's for sure. There was a feeling yesterday, I thought, my God, you know, it's been sitting there in my driveway. I've just been so busy with this program. There's no thoughts of going anywhere. There can't be. After I get back, well, my son apparently is visiting from Japan, or from Vancouver. So I'm not going to just take off in the middle of that. So, I don't know. Oh, there's a weather report. Thunderstorms. Yeah, never mind the weather. So, anyway, what do I want to tell you here? I like to record. I used to record from Niagara on the Lake. And I had a favorite little spot where I meet the girls when it's time to walk back to our bus. And there won't be time. I haven't even started packing for camping. I got to pack for, you know, the next 10 days or so. What the hell's that? And I guess I just wanted to say I'm feeling in control, feeling very positive. I guess there are so many aspects to this job, as I've mentioned, and one of them is just the human connections, which seems to be the thing that really excites me, inspires me. And like yesterday, the bus was 30 minutes late. Our coach just got bogged down in traffic on Bay Street downtown. They left the Eaton Center 5 to 4, and they didn't get back here till 5:30, which is crazy. But anyway, all the families were here waiting patiently. And I went from car to car and just talked to everybody, of all the families that I've personally recruited and visited their homes and explained about the program. And every one of them is happy and thankful for being involved and thinks these girls are fabulous. It's just such a good feeling. Because it's a positive thing. I often think of working for Dow Chemical during the 60s or something and making napalm that was going to be dropped on people and set them on fire, or the monkeys in the trees or the foliage and everything else, and how horrible it must be to do a job that is actually contributing to hell on earth. And how fortunate I am to have somehow landed in a spot or engineered my life in such a way that I'm doing a job that really is about, believe it or not, a little love and understanding and compassion. It's a wonderful learning experience for these girls. They write a book. It's about 100 pages every year, the first half. It's in Japanese. And then each one has to do like an essay topic. And one of them was on the importance of please and thank you in Japan that Mr. Ken Bowl taught them. I mean, in Canada. And others on greetings and friendliness of neighbors and all some of the differences that each one is comparing, Canada and Japan. They're actually putting a great deal of thought into it on their observations. So here you are, these 16-year-old girls from a very good private girls' high school, actually learning. Not just here to shopping, not just in a big group going to Niagara Falls and snapping the photo, but actually living and learning about our culture, our differences, and reflecting on their own. That's fabulous. That's just fabulous. The essays that they write are amazing. And then, of course, it's your daily journals and their reflections and their feelings and the mixed emotions they go through. Today's a very difficult day because at the zoo they will have to say goodbye to the Canadian girls who they've worked with only 6 days, but 6 full days from 8:30 in the morning till 5 at night with them constantly. And each Canadian girl assigned to a specific Japanese group and then rotating so that they spend time with every single girl. And here they are. Are you on Facebook? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Instagram? And exchanging emails. And a lot of these relationships carry on into the future. It's a wonderful thing. So this is the other side of it. The fact that I get to recruit students here at the school to be chosen to work with these girls, and they've just done a marvelous job, and that's fabulous. I'm just so proud of myself, as you know, I sort of dreamed this thing up, but everybody that's involved, just this whole program. So sorry again for bragging rights, but you know, I'll be back at you sometime feeling shitty about who I am and what a lousy husband and father and all my failings and weakness and character flaws, so it balances out, I hope. Anyway, I don't have much time left. I just wanted to get this in. I want to close this off. And next time you hear from me, maybe I'll try and post one from camp. That would be great. And if not, it might be Ottawa or Quebec City. Who knows? But you'll be with me on this tour, as regular listeners have been ever since we started. We're already planning next year's program, and that will be my 25th year in business. So that's a landmark I absolutely have to make, regardless of what comes after. So Yours truly, the Scarborough Dude, more in the mode of Ken right now. Yeah, very little Scarborough Dude on this tour, mainly Ken, but that's okay. As I say, it all balances out. I hope you guys are having a good summer yourselves. Talk of Mr. John Leshinsky, who sort of spearheads the PodCamp Toronto every February, is also talking about having a late fall or gathering somewhere in a big park, sitting around a campfire. Wouldn't that be a lot of fun? So stay tuned for that. Keep your eyes and ears open and check on the various Facebook groups to see if you've heard anything about whether you can be around, which looks like maybe Thanksgiving weekend on the Saturday. That would be first week in October, I believe. All right. Signing off. Bye for now.